So I am the only prisoner who's not actually looking at adults and active duty military. I'm actually looking at their children. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So this past 10 years of war that we've engaged in has been one of the longer periods that we've had as a country. People have actually been deployed multiple times, and these experiences haven't been seen before for folks who serve in our military. We know that military-connected families are also going to be impacted by the experiences of their active service persons. And the point of this study was that we were concerned about the lack of services for kids in public schools. So we know military-connected kids are going to experience stressors related to their family members serving, and this also includes their siblings. There's an article recently they talked about the lack of data around sibling deployment, and particularly for younger children who may be very close to their older siblings. So some of the stressors associated with having a military-connected family member and that go along with the deployments and potential for your family member to come back injured, for moves that are associated or transitions associated with being military-connected, we found that substance use, mental health, and academic outcomes are all impacted by those youth in military-connected families. So there are actually an estimated 1.2 million school-aged children of active duty military service members worldwide. This also doesn't include, and this isn't school age, but there are 625,000 children from National Guard families and 705,000, and these are estimates, from reservist families. And many of these, the majority of them, are enrolled in civilian-operated schools. As a matter of fact, there are only about 86,000 school-aged children enrolled in DoDEA schools globally, so those are the schools that are actually operated by the Department of Defense. A large majority of our military-connected children are actually in public schools. Because there's so little data on military-connected youth and their experiences in schools that serve them, it's important for us to understand the behavioral health risks. So one thing about the literature that I don't have presented here is that there are several studies. Most of these studies focus on small children, so kindergarten through fifth grade, and that's important because most of our military families are younger. So a majority of military-connected kids are young children. But that means an understudied population are those kids who are adolescents. And we know adolescence is that period where it's, so many things are going on. You're developing your autonomy. You're also transitioning in school. And so having to experience multiple moves, relocations, changes in resources within your family structure related to family member deployments could be especially stressful for adolescents. And like I said, we really haven't researched them. So we have data here that's from a subsample of the California Healthy Kids Survey from a project called the Building Capacity Consortium. And we administer the first sampling of our military-connected schools module in February to April 2011. So just a little bit about the military module and building capacity. Basically, researchers and representatives from WestEd, the California Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, and the Department of Defense Educational Activity, as well as eight school districts in San Diego and Riverside counties, which are near bases, collaborated to develop a military module. Basically, California has the longest ongoing data collection for school climate evaluation, and we had this opportunity to actually start asking, are you military connected? Has your family member experienced deployments? And given that this is already a infrastructure that's ongoing, it was a great way for us to get in and start collecting this information without additional burdens to the schools, because this is already mandated and paid for in part by the California Department of Education. So like I said, we found eight school districts that were military connected, and they agreed to help us pilot and implement this California military module. So the module addressed the following areas. We looked at background, such as do you have someone in your family who was actively serving in the military and they were allowed to be Army, Navy, Marines, Reserve? We also asked questions about military-related stressors, so that would be deployments experienced by family members, as well as how many times you've moved or had to change school because your family had to relocate. Again, the focus of the California Healthy Kids Survey is looking at school climate, so they did ask questions about whether you felt your teacher appreciated your family member's service, whether or not you felt that the school was aware of the sacrifice that your family is making, and we also asked about after-school and community supports. This is just a picture of the module that we developed, and this is actually available on WestEd's website. It's available for any school system, anyone who wants to use it. It's not, you know, copywritten, and it is posted on the web. This particular study, I'm focusing only on substance use and how that relates to deployments experienced by the family members, as well as military service. So the substance use items that we looked at in this particular study were lifetime use or ever use of alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, or other drugs, and the other drugs included inhalants, crack cocaine, methamphetamine or LSD, as well as prescription drugs. We then also looked at past 30-day use or recent use of alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, and other drugs. And the other drugs is defined, as I indicated earlier, for lifetime. We didn't have a question for recent drug use for prescription drugs, and that's why that was left out for the past 30 days. So we looked at bivariate and multivariate bivariate analyses, and we also used logistic regressions for each of those different substances. And the covariates were the familial military affiliation, so that could be no one was in the military, a parent was serving, or a sibling was serving. We looked at the number of deployments, and this question was truncated to none, one, two, or more. We also included gender, grade, and race ethnicity. I do apologize. I am going to present very limited results, and that is because we were fortunate to have this article actually accepted by the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, and they embargo all of their articles, so it just got accepted like in September. I'm not allowed to show the results, but here's the citation. It's forthcoming in February 2013. I can tell you, because they limit me to what's in the abstract, so reporting to one or two or more familial deployments had the highest rates of any substance use, and this was across lifetime or recent use. And what was really striking to us was the fact that for parental service, so there was the military connection piece, there's the piece of do you have someone in your family who's active duty? And then separately, there's this question about deployments. And what was really interesting to us and looking at the data was the fact that having a parent in the military didn't indicate or mean that you had the highest rates of substance use. Having a sibling in the military had some indication that, okay, these rates are slightly higher, but they weren't statistically significant. But then when we looked at deployments, we found across the board that having a family member be deployed was associated with increased levels of substance use. And we're proposing, and I'll go through that later, but it's really looking like it's not, as we saw historically, before this 10 years of prolonged war, military-connected kids didn't have problems. It's not about actually being military-affiliated. It's the experiences associated with the past few years or the past decade of war that we've engaged in as a country. So these are some bivariate results. This isn't from the paper. What I did was, so that I could have some numbers, instead of having no deployment, one, two, or more, I just grouped the one and the two or more together so I could just show you some differences. The differences are more striking when you look at the gradient versus just kind of doing the cut point and grouping them together. But these are a couple of the, you know, significant bivariate differences that for the other drug use, you have 17% for any deployment compared to 13.4%. And these are rather modest, but like I said, in the paper, the gradients are bigger. Just wanted to show you some of the differences. As shadowed by the bivariate results, multivariate models, and this is where we had the adjusted odds ratios, as was just presented, we controlled for grade, gender, race, ethnicity, and of course, including the military connection and the deployments as our primary variables of interest. And current military connection was not a significant predictor in any of the models once you control for everything else. However, increasing number of family member deployments was consistently associated with increased probability or odds of any of the substance use, any substance use, both lifetime and recent. So it was, you know, controlling for everything and consistently across all of those substances I listed, deployments were predictive of substance use. The fact that, and I've already said this before, but the fact that military connection was not significantly associated with lifetime or recent use suggests that it's the experiences related to a prolonged war that increases stresses on military-connected youth and their families. But what really strikes us, and what we know we don't really assess in this particular study, because our sample is, they're very closely linked to bases, and so these are generally people that are choosing not to live, let's say, on Camp Pendleton, so their kids are going to public schools. But there's a concern for us nationally around our reservists and National Guardsmen whose their families are using non-military-related public resources. And so what this lets us know is that community-based medical care providers may need to be cognizant of the need to screen for substance use and abuse problems, or talking to their patients around the fact of whether or not their family member has been deployed. This work was partially supported by a DoDEA grant. Again, the Building Capacity Consortium, and I didn't put the website up there, but if you Google Building Capacity Consortium, USC, we're partnered with these 8 school districts, and we're actually trying to help the schools become more aware of the problems that military-connected kids face, because we found that they really weren't. And a big part of what we did, which is not as impressive, or well, it's not that it's not impressive, but which tends not to be the focus of public health sorts of things, is that we actually do individual reports to each of the schools that are involved in our consortium. And even though I'm presenting aggregate results here, we found extreme variation depending on where schools were, what the socioeconomic status is of the schools, whether or not we're talking about naval service persons versus Marines. And so that context we're able to have because we actually work individually with these districts and communities. It's not going to be presented in the aggregate data because the California Healthy Kids Survey is anonymous and they don't ask specifically for SES, but because we're on the ground, we actually get to get that context. So any questions that people might have at the end, I'm happy to answer. And I'm sorry I couldn't present more numbers, but they were pretty strict and I didn't want to risk not having the paper be printed.